It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica, I am ready to pledge. I think it's Delta Zeta. I am signing up. Sign me up.
Oh, no.
I cannot pledge another Greek organization because mm-hmm. I have already pledged myself to one.
Yeah.
I am a sorority girl.
Yeah, I don't think that after watching this episode, most people are going to be like running out and pledging fraternities.
I still would if it was me. So anybody that has been following us for a while knows that I have always had like a big passion for Greek life. Ever since I was a teenager, I watched MTV's Sorority Life, any sorority content that I could or fraternity content that I can consume, I would. And like, I am actually like a very big advocate for Greek life. And whenever it's portrayed in television or media, I just like eat it up. Like mm-hmm. it's a good old stew. So when I realized, that this was like a Greek fraternity life centric episode, I was very much on board, even though it's stupid as fuck. But in addition to that, the other thing that I really like, Jessica, as you well know, is a secret society. Mm-hmm. I love secret societies. So like a secret society slash like Greek organization that it does their culty shit in the basement and, gives their souls up to this like lizard snake god. I mean, sign me up, baby. Like, let me join in on the fun. And I think it's really interesting because, you know, they say like there's like a statistic that like the majority of CEOs in the country are from Greek organizations. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny to think because they create sacrifices to this like snake god, and that is why they're so successful. And like mm-hmm. it's just like the whole concept I personally really liked, and I know you, and I know you hated this episode.
I will say like this was one of those episodes I would compare to like Praying Mantis Lady episode, like maybe even like the Ventriloquist Dummy episode, where it's like I loved to hate it more so than I hated it. Like yeah. The pack, I hated. This episode, yeah. I more loved to hate because of the ridiculousness of the entire situation. And I guess, like, it doesn't even get that outlandish until we meet this, like, snake god. This, like, Jafar genie snake man
yeah.
who, like, comes out of a hole in the ground and that this culty frat is, like, praying to. That's when it got so unhinged that I was like, they somehow got me back on board because of how dumb it was.
They reeled you back in.
Yeah, they pulled me back in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this episode has, like, certain things to like, right? The one thing I will say is we are now season 2, episode 5, okay? We're like 5 episodes into the second season, and I've had enough of Broody Angel.
Oh my
had
God.
Enough. I don't care anymore. Me Go away. Not. He says like two sentences ever. He epitomizes, Sarah, this thing that we've talked about before, where in high school, you're like, oh my God, look at that guy. He never says anything, but he's pretty cute. He's so deep. He must have such deep thoughts. There is nothing going on upstairs. Like, an angel is lived for 200 years. How many words does he probably know? Use some of them. Speak up, my guy. It's just so irritating, and I'm done with it.
I don't know. Like, he really does remind me of, like, Edward Cullen was intellectual. Like, he was the quiet guy in the corner. He didn't really say much. And I feel as though he probably would talk a whole bunch once you get him interested in a conversation. He feels comfortable, but I don't really feel that way towards Angel. Like, I'm still drinking the blood that Bangle we got juice. From the Bangle juice,
it's like jungle juice.
Talk about Bangle fraternity. Juice. That's yeah. definitely laced with something. I don't really mind it because I just, like, I get what he's doing here. Like, he
then what is he doing? Can you tell me? Is he, like, playing games, or is he really just, like, super conflicted about liking Buffy and he just doesn't know what to do?
I think that he is. I think that number one, there's, like, the morality issue. Like, he's undead, and he's also I don't know, like, he's a vampire. He's also probably, like, realizing that he's hundreds of years older than her. And, like, I think that he realizes that he's, like, no good for her. Like, this is so Bella and Edward coded. And probably every single vampire that falls in love with a human, like, I can't do it. Like, I'm no good. Like, you're a pure soul. So, like, he definitely likes her, I think. And I don't think that he's playing games, because I just don't think those are his intentions. Now, is he, like, the most, like, interesting specimen in the world? Probably not. But I feel as though he has a lot more under the surface that we just need to crack open. And I don't know if we need a whole ass other show so that we can explore that, and we're not going to get that here.
Yeah, that's what would piss me off. If it's like, we're not going to dive into Angel's character too deep until he has his own show. And it's like, how did he earn his own show? He has to be a compelling character to begin with.
No, it's because he's being very honest. Like, it's because he's this hot celebrity guy. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, one of my best friends from middle school loved David Boreanaz. Like, that was, like, her crush. She watched Angel because of her love for David Boreanaz. But I thought that you were going to say that you were sick and tired of there being no vampires.
Oh, no, it doesn't. The monster of the week formula doesn't bother me. It's more that, and I'm saying this so like early on in this season, so I don't know if this is even correct, but it's more so that we set up Spike and Drew as, like, these super badass villains, right? And now they've been missing for 2 episodes. So it's less that I want vampires, 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 and it's more that I want a bigger story arc throughout the whole season that doesn't feel like it's constantly being picked up and dropped again.
Yeah, I don't know if I see it that way, because I feel like this is very 90s TV.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, this sort of genre to, like, set something up and then, like, put it down. And then I think the audience is supposed to be, like, simmering on, like, oh, there is this other big bad. Like, mm-hmm. we all knew that throughout the Harry Potter books, Voldemort was doing shit that we didn't see. But we knew by the end of the book, he was going to come out and be like, fuck you, motherfuckers. I hate finals at Hogwarts. Finals are bullshit. I'm going to come up right now at the same time every single year so that finals can get canceled. And I would say that that man, say what you will, he has no nose, but he was really fighting the good fight against education.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a reply to that, and then it went out of my head when I heard he's fighting the good fight against education.
Yeah.
What I would like to have happen is that, like, by the end of this season, when we're getting to, like, the final showdown of sorts, I would like for there to have been, like, breadcrumbs along the way to look back on and be like, oh, this little nugget that was from them, which is, again, because I'm saying this so prematurely, it's possible that that will happen. Like this episode, right? Like Buffy, we hear she's been patrolling the graveyards. Like that's her job. Like she just keeps patrolling. She has practice with Giles, which can we get Buffy an actual trainer? I love Giles. This man is not capable of going toe-to-toe with Buffy. We need an actual trainer.
There might be some Giles slander in this podcast. Today.
Oh my gosh, you're gonna upset so many people. We're gonna have to counterbalance it with more Xander slander. It's the only way to balance the world.
Yeah, I suppose so. So we are covering episode 5, Reptile Boy.
Such a spoiler title.
Really, because like it just
expecting a reptile boy.
I wasn't expecting like a giant noodle to come out of the ground.
I can't wait to talk about him because literally I like messaged my husband and I was like, he's like a reptilian version of Jafar. Like, why is he a genie?
I wasn't expecting that, but we have Buffy, Xander, and Willow sitting watching TV, very Dawson and Joey,
except they're watching like Bollywood movies.
This is how they're
like spending their Friday night or something.
Yeah, because they're poor and dorks, and there's nothing, you can be poor but like cool, or you can be like, you know, rich but a dork, but you can't be a poor dork.
And they're definitely poor dorks because Willow's suggestion is they could go to the Bronze, sneak in their own tea bags, and ask for hot water.
That seems like something that you would recommend. And I feel
I would never recommend. First of all, I only drink herbal tea. I don't drink regular tea. Second of all, I would never pull that stunt because I have anxiety and that would freak me out too much to even attempt to hoodwink the restaurant.
Yeah. This I don't think it's hoodwinking, it's just hot water. This reminds me that we really should try to get Sasha on to cover a 90s Bollywood movie.
Yes. Because I love how we're having a meeting on the podcast live.
Because I know that she's been wanting to talk about 90s Bollywood for a while now.
And I've heard there's like some wild storylines.
Yeah.
As well.
My only hesitation is that I do know that these movies are like 6 hours long.
Oh, that's offensive.
But they're a spectacle, and the costumes are gorgeous, and the storylines are compelling. And as we hear Willow and Xander try to like interpret the story, there's singing and there's chiropractic work and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. And then we flash to a scene. I was like, are they monks? Is this a cult? What is happening? A woman like jumps out of a glass window. She's running. And then we see all these like young adult men in hooded garb chasing her down. And we see her jump over a wall into a graveyard. And I'm thinking, Sarah, I didn't realize this was the same graveyard that like Buffy's always patrolling. I'm like, how many fucking graveyards are there in Hellmouth? You know? And my husband's like, people keep dying. Like they need more graveyards.
Yeah, we're going to start to stack bodies, to be honest.
Mass burial graves. That's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah. I mean, they do look like a bunch of monks. That's true.
But they're very young monks.
Well, it's really hard to see. But yeah, she tries to escape. She tries to hop a stone fence. but I believe she still gets caught.
Yeah, they catch her, and the guy who catches her, we see his face. He's a really young guy, and he says the party's just getting started, which, you know, not great. I was immediately, I was like, okay, we got some kind of young guy cult. Not a fan.
Did you, whatever. So you thought it was a cult? Like, you didn't think that these were vampires or whatever?
No, I mean, no, because I would have expected them to have vampire face. So I was like, right. It's some sort of cult or something. Like, I didn't know it was a fraternity because it's not like there was like Greek letters on the building.
Which typically there are. So I don't know if this was.
Well, this is the back, right? It was the back of the house.
I think that that's the right call. I think it was probably the back of the house because the front of the house, I mean, we would know right away that it was a fraternity.
Yeah. We need to talk about the other main headline of this episode, which is Cordelia's fake laugh.
Okay. You're not a fan.
It's just that it is so fake sounding that I don't know how anyone would ever believe it's real.
Okay, so Cordelia is reading a magazine, and I think that she's reading that like men like it when you laugh at their jokes, essentially.
Right.
So she's trying to learn how to do the perfect fake laugh. Do you want to try to fake laugh?
Oh, I feel like it's going to sound so forced, but let me give it a shot. Okay. Uh-huh. Let me think. No, that's so fake. I can't do it.
Okay, so I think that was a real laugh. Now let me see if I can do a real laugh.
Oh, yours definitely sounds more real than mine does.
Well, it's because I'm an actress. If anybody didn't know, I took acting classes for many years when I was growing up because I was too chunky to dance. So
I think the thing that I think the key is like you could almost do that thing where instead of actually laughing, you're just like, oh my gosh, you're so funny.
Oh my.
Maybe you do that instead.
That's so funny person. And it wrecks me because I always think about Mandy Moore in Scrubs, dates Zach Braff, and Zach Braff like hates that Mandy Moore is a that's so funny person. So I don't think that we can do that so funny.
I think enough time has passed though from Scrubs where you can do it again.
That's so funny.
Stop it. So anyway, that's going to come back around with Cordelia. But Willow and Buffy are talking, and Buffy keeps having dreams about Angel. And Willow is very much on the Bangle ship train. She's just like, you guys are meant to be together. Like, I know it's tricky because he's a vampire, but maybe you can go for like late night coffee.
Is she not writing fan fiction like in her blog at night?
Definitely. Oh my God. Well, because Willow currently doesn't have any like romantic stuff happening in her life. So she's
like, Oz is just around the corner.
Where was he this episode, Sarah? I was waiting for him.
He was unavailable, but I know that he's probably there, just not there. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Willow's interest in Angel and Buffy is starting to verge on creepy because she's asking for a lot of details. Like, she wants to know if the dreams are wet or dry. Like, I just feel like maybe Willow needs to stop being so invested in this relationship because it's getting a little weird.
It's a lot. Like, it'd be different if Buffy was like, I feel like Buffy isn't as forthcoming with information. And so it'd be different if like Buffy was sharing and Willow was like getting clarification questions, but it feels like Willow's a little too invested in this at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. She really wants to know. And Xander comes on by and is just Xandering.
He's Xandering all over the place, right? Like, he's going up to Cordelia, who's talking about, oh, well, you need to date a college guy. Like, high school boys are just boys. Like, again, there's another little moment of, like, Xander and Cordelia kind of, like, going back and forth. And I don't know if this is a thing, but I feel like they might be setting something up for the future. Even if it's just a one-off. Even if it's just a, like, okay, you know what I'm thinking of, Sarah?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch New Girl?
No, because I think that Zooey Deschanel is too quirky, and I don't like that energy in my life.
That's fair. In the show New Girl, there's a character named Schmidt. You probably know him. He's like very
He's dorky. The Jew.
He's the Jew, and he's, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. He's Jewish, and he's very like dorky. And Jess's best friend, whose name I forget, and it doesn't matter. She's a model. Cece, that's her name. She's a model. She's gorgeous, right? And eventually they hook up those two characters. They hook up.
Yes.
It feels kind of similar to that for me, where it might just be one of those inevitable things. I just want to plant my flag right now in case it ever happens that there is something happening. That's it.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. I think that I can see them trapped together in a situation and then be like, we're not going to make it out. And
the
then like
of the kiss. World, let's just fuck.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think Cordelia's hair darkened up. I think that they dyed it back from her blonde.
I hate her bangs.
No, I don't have a problem with the bang. I like her hair darker, though. I think that she looks fab.
She looks really preppy this episode.
Yeah, I like that. I like preppiness. Probably because she has to, like, make it to the Greek organization. You know what I mean? So Buffy is training, and I do agree with you. I do think that she needs a new trainer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Giles's job is watching, okay? He's a librarian.
Researching.
He's not the most physical guy. They need to hire a personal trainer because Giles is getting upset. He feels like Buffy's been slacking off. She's showing up late to training or sometimes not at all. Like, because there's been a decrease in activity overall, she's getting a little lackadaisical about her Slayer duties. And he's like, come on, you have to work harder. But yeah, I feel like if we're expecting Buffy to actually train and get better at like hand-to-hand combat, she needs a really good trainer. And I'm sorry, Giles, you're great at the research, but the physicality stuff is not for you.
It's like when your piano teacher says you are too good for me to teach you. You need to level up.
Yes, exactly. But,
okay, so this is what I have to complain about. I just think that Giles is acting too much like Buffy's dad in this episode.
But that's the point, though, right?
I don't like it.
He has become like a surrogate father to her.
I don't like it. Look, I have lived 17 years without a father. I don't need no randos coming at me.
He's not
trying to be my dad. Trying to be my dad. I don't need that.
Buffy does need it.
Buffy has a dad, and
but he doesn't live anywhere nearby, and he's pretty shitty.
He is. Giles is dadding too hard, and it's just like, you are my co-worker, sir. You are not my father. Yes, they are co-workers.
I mean,
that's her colleague, not her father.
I just think he's trying to look out for her, and like, he's her mentor, I think is a better way to put it than a colleague.
You know who would be a better mentor? A Slayer that's retired.
Also, where's Miss Calendar? I don't think they retire. I think they die. I think it's one of those jobs that you have until you die. It's like the mafia. You just get to leave.
You thought mafia. I thought like our government positions.
You're like, that's our lives because we're not going to be able to retire because we don't get Social Security because the economy.
Gosh. I just feel okay. Yeah, I don't know where Miss Calendar is. She is absolutely missing in action, but she'll be back.
Well, maybe if they were fucking, he'd lighten up a little bit.
Oh, she's around. She's around. No, it's just that, like, he doesn't know what fun is because he is, I think that he was like a Willow and a Xander back in the day. Like, I think
he was not like a Xander back in the day. He's too British for that.
I meant a fucking loser. I think that he was a loser. And I think that he doesn't know what it's like to have fun. And I just feel like he was just up her ass because she needs a break. Girly pop is feeling burnt out. She's burnt out. Everybody needs a vacay. Send this girl off to Bora Bora. Get her a cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Like, she is exhausted. She has a lot going on. And so she decides, instead of doing more training with Giles after class, she's just going to like hang out with her friends outside the school. And up comes this motherfucker, Richard. And of course, Cordelia has the worst taste in men, and Cordelia's interested in him. He's a frat guy, and we recognize him from the kidnapping the night before of that teenage girl. And next to him, we have other random white guy. And Cordelia does the thing where she just laughs and smiles at the first thing he says. It makes no sense to laugh and smile at Cordelia.
No, it really doesn't. Now, okay, remind me, because these two men like basically look like twins. Which yeah. one was the one that was seen before? Because I know the one in the blue shirt, the one in the back, that's the quote unquote nice guy, but he's yes. like the actual facilitator of yes. the noodle snake. But was he the guy that we saw the night before?
So, yeah. So Richard, the guy that Cordelia is interested in, he's the one we saw the night before.
Okay.
And Tom, who's the other guy Tom? That Buffy ends up going out with. Yeah, that's his name.
Tom with a T?
Tom with a T.
Okay.
Like T-O-M. That's him.
Okay. So Tom and what's the
Richard. Generic white guy names. I don't know what else to tell you. We could call him Dick if that helps.
Okay. Richard's very preppy, very cute.
This is the exact opposite of my my type. Yeah.
Your type. Yeah. He just looks like a Ken doll.
Exactly. And it's not for me. He has no facial hair to be seen. He has like highlights in his floppy hair.
He has
not for me.
A really, really cute little freckle under his eye, which I just find very endearing.
Okay. Well, he's also evil, so there's that.
Well, I mean, he's a little evil. They're all a little evil. Everyone's a little evil.
Yeah. So they invite Cordelia to this party, but in order for Cordelia to go, they're like, but you have to invite Buffy. Like, she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So Cordelia immediately goes up and she's just like, come here, Buffy. Richard and his fraternity brother want to meet you. And of course, the Xander flip switches. On comes the misogyny. On comes the jealousy. Shut up, Xander. Just leave it. You know what? Buffy's not going to fuck you. She's never going to fuck you. Get the fuck over it. I'm so done with every time Buffy even glances at
another
boy,
guy.
I can't.
Yeah. Because like, I don't know if he necessarily wants to be with Buffy, but he definitely doesn't like it when Buffy talks to other people.
Or about people. Even mentioning Angel, he's like, Angel.
Yeah. Like, he has a problem, like, and he probably needs to get over it.
Yeah.
It's pretty annoying.
Were you suspicious of Tom when he's, like, having this conversation with Buffy? Because the way the show makes it seem is, like, Richard sucks. We hate Richard. He's obviously a culty guy. But Tom seems like a nice man.
Yeah, I don't think I was, like, very suspicious of him. I don't think that I really knew what was happening at this point. My mind was a little blank, but he was basically like, don't mind my friend Richard. He's a dick. But if you are available, I would love to see you later. And
yeah,
she's like, I have so many responsibilities. I don't think I can. I have a job.
Yeah, I have a job. He says that he's a senior in college and he's hitting on a high school girl, which is a little creepy and weird.
Really?
But
that's, that's like, it's a, like a 4-year difference.
Yeah, but like, age-wise and like consent-wise and all that, it's a little bit of a gray area. But I did think what's funny in like a rewatch is when he says that he majors in history, given all the circumstances behind the frat cult that ends up happening later. I thought that was like a funny little line, on the rewatch.
Yeah. Giles comes by and does such an irritating, like, hitting his watch thing.
I don't like this. It's very Judge Judy gif of like tapping the watch, like, come on, you're late.
Yeah. I mean, unless he has someplace to go afterwards, then
I mean, he's meeting up with his calendar.
No, he's in the library all night being a loser. So they have to train some more.
Mm-hmm.
Kicky kicky, punchy punchy. Now we have swords, little swords.
Yeah, at least we have some weapons now, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we immediately cut to Buffy doing her, like, nightly patrols through the graveyard, and she finds a bracelet on the ground, which was dropped by the girl the night before, and suddenly there's Angel, and he just shows up, and he's like, I smell blood. It's like, all right, bro. I need you, too.
Just like, all right, you fucking hound dog, like... Good for you. You smell blood. It's on this bracelet. What do you got to say about it? Can you tell me anything about it? Can you tell if it's like type O? Can you tell if it comes from a male or a female? Like, can you actually be helpful at all?
Yeah. Can you do anything to help besides just creep around the corners and slink around places, Angel?
He's like, wait, I like that bracelet. Can I have it? He's like, I kind of want to add it to my jewelry collection.
Yes, please. And Buffy is trying to like flirt with him and see if he might want to like get coffee. And it's like, and maybe it's because he's 200 years old, although you'd think he'd learn to flirt in that amount of time. He's just like, oh, what? You want to have a date? And of course, Buffy, like, it's too far. You have to play the game, Angel. You have to play the game of like, yeah, sure, let's go out for coffee. And then you figure out it's a date. You can't just bluntly ask someone, do you want to go on a date? Like, oh, it sounds like you want to go on a date.
Yeah. Do you think that Buffy is making herself too available?
No, I think she has tried the play hard to get move, and Angel just doesn't compute with that strategy. And so she has to try a different tactic now, which is asking him out for coffee. And that also seems to fail.
Well, okay. How about the fact that he probably just doesn't consume liquids or solids besides blood?
Fair. Maybe she hadn't considered that.
So why would he want to get coffee? How about go to mini golf or something?
They have to go at like midnight. What mini golf places open at midnight?
Go to midnight bingo.
Midnight bingo sounds like fun. But he like, he does this thing again where, oh, I'm too old for you. And so she's like, she's had enough. She wants out of this conversation. And as she's going to leave, she does the like bump into him and he grabs her. And he says like, listen, what does he say? He says, this isn't some fairy tale. When I kiss you, you don't wake up from a deep sleep and live happily ever after. And she says, in the most fucking dramatic thing ever, she says, no, when you kiss me, I want to die. Are you okay, Buffy?
No, she's not.
The way this line killed me. When you kiss me, I want to die. Date him, girl. I feel like that's not, they talk about butterflies, not like skeletons, you know? Yeah. Like, you don't want that. You want to like kissing someone, not want to die.
I want to die. I like it.
It's so stupid. It's the thing. Can you ever imagine yourself saying this? Like, I could never say this.
Yeah.
I would vomit before the words came out.
I love you so much. I want to die. Yeah. I can say I think I've said that before.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting smart home products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, so Buffy is at school, and I will say, because Cordelia gives her a lot of shit about her hair. I don't know if it's in this scene or in the next scene. Her hair does look a little bad. Buffy's does.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. It's kind of strange. Like, it's just down, but it's very, like, flippy outy, but in all different directions at the bottom. Yeah,
it's like she only curled the very tips of her hair.
Yeah. And Cordelia's just like, listen, like we have to go to this party. And I love how she's saying like, listen, the Zeta Kappas need a certain balance at their party. And Richard explained the entire thing, but I was so busy really listening that I didn't hear. It's like, oh, me.
truly. Okay. We got to go to the frat party. You want to go to the frat party? I would go to the frat party.
I would not go to the frat party, but I will in this instance go to the frat party.
We got to go. We got to go to the frat party. Why would you want to go to the frat party?
I would be too afraid of getting roofied.
Yeah. I mean, that's the risk you got to take.
Yeah. We were talking, I was talking to my husband as we watched this together, and I was telling him about how I had heard of like there's a nail polish you can like get that you could like dip your finger in a drink and see if it changes color. And now they have like these little scrunchies that have a little cap thing in them that you could put over the top of your drink that has a hole for a straw.
Yeah.
Like less subtle, but still like really great. And I was like, they really need to give these out like the first day of college to like protect yourself, you know, and like teach. Don't take drinks from strangers. Like, don't drink an open drink. Always pour yourself a brand new drink. Like, make sure you see who makes your drink. Like, I'm just saying, like, there are certain things that I feel like there are life lessons that can be learned from this ridiculous episode of Buffy.
Yeah. The one frat party or one of the frat parties that I went to, I was handed a beer and I just held it. I didn't drink it. Good. Because then they're not going to offer you another beer because you already have one in your hand and they're not like watching you. You just
they're not noticing that you're not drinking it.
Yeah. You just hold it and then like they just leave you alone.
Yeah. That's also a good move. Good tactic. But yeah, we're in the fraternity house basement and they're like taking this really awful pledge to the Delta Zeta Kappas and to Makaida, whom we serve. And we're all like, who the fuck is Makaida and why is this man carving a symbol into this guy's chest?
Look, don't ask questions about ritual because these rituals are hundreds of years old and it's passed from generation to generation. And there is a reason why you do all of these rituals and traditions. And that is amongst the brothers.
Mm-hmm. Very cultish behavior.
You say cult, I say tradition, whichever.
Mm-hmm. Back in school, Buffy and Willow are talking about this party and they're like, oh, Willow's very excited for Buffy. Xander, of course, is not very excited. I did love the scene where Giles knows that he's not an adequate enough trainer for Buffy. And so he decides to practice on his own. And then gets caught. I just thought it was really great.
Funny.
You need to like Giles more. It's simply not okay that you don't.
I just don't want to. Because
he's so nice.
He's nice-ish. What? I don't know. I don't know if I like him that much. I don't need like some dude telling me what to do all the time, you know? That's like what my inner demons are for.
Well, there's actual outer demons on the show. So.
True. Buffy hands the bracelet over and she's like, my boyfriend really wanted this, but I want to give it to you instead. Tell me what it means.
Yeah, it's been broken. So there's just the letters ENT on it. And they're trying to figure things out. And Giles is like, oh, well, tonight, like you can go patrol and we'll figure this all out. But Buffy lies. And she's like, oh, well, I have so much homework. And also my mom's not feeling well. I have to take care of her. And also I'm not really feeling well. And Giles, again, in a very like dad-like way, he's like, oh, my gosh, no, you should go home and rest. Like, I will do some research. Don't you worry about it. And Willow and Xander are like, you just lied to Giles. You lied to him.
Yeah, because that's what you do. You lie to adults. Mm-hmm. I mean, love lying to adults.
Very, very teenager thing of her to do.
Well, because she wants to go out and she doesn't want to get reprimanded and she just wants to go to a college party and he's just going to tell her, no, you're going to do your homework. You got to like do your training. You got to like patrol the graveyard. You got to, research. It's like, or she can just have a fun night, you know? And
possibly see an orgy. Like that is what Willow thinks happens at frat parties. Lots of orgies.
Maybe it's none of her business because she's not invited. Willow, why don't you wear some normal clothes that a teenage girl would do wear, and then maybe you would be invited to the frat party.
Mm-hmm. What do we think of Cordelia's rules? She says, don't wear black, silk, chiffon, or spandex. Those are my trademarks. And don't do that weird thing with your hair.
Okay. Weird thing with the hair. If it was her hair in the previous scenes, then yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. And those are her trademarks. Like, that's what she's going to wear. So then she doesn't want Buffy to compete with her. But black is like, I mean, that's like a clutch color to claim. And she's not even wearing black right now. She's wearing red.
Yeah. She says, don't interrupt. do be interested if someone should speak to you. It may or may not happen, but be polite. Laugh at the appropriate intervals. Yeah. And lie to your mom about where we're going.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, these are all very good rules. I adhere to these rules. This is a giant check for me.
I think it honestly all makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. And Xander tells Willow he's going to go to the party to keep an eye on Buffy because, of course, he's going to stalk her there. Why wouldn't he?
I mean, to be honest with you, we kind of needed him.
No, what we needed, what we needed was someone who actually was looking out for Buffy and not getting pulled into fraternity nonsense when he's not even a fucking pledge.
He could have been a pledge. He thought that he was getting a bid.
He's not in college.
I mean, I don't know. This is, you know what they call that? They call that dirty pledging or dirty recruitment when you like pledge a high school or you try to get a high school student to join.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're at the party. It is a, I think Buffy is wearing black.
And Buffy is not only wearing black, but Cordelia's wearing light blue.
Cordelia, you can't claim a color and then like not wear it. Okay, whatever. But Buffy looks great in this little dress, so I'm glad that she wore this color. And Cordelia looks like she's still attending the cultural appropriation party from last week.
Yeah, it is silk, so I guess she fits one of the requirements of her her no-nos to Buffy.
Yeah. But she does look pretty. I just like, I don't know, like this style of like faux Asian clothing worn by white girls was very popular in the 90s.
It was. I preferred the red dress she was in earlier. And obviously I prefer Buffy's black dress in this scene as well.
Yeah.
But they immediately get handed drinks by Richard, Cordelia's date. And Buffy doesn't drink it. She sets it aside. Cordelia goes off with Richard, with Mr. Dick. Mm-hmm. And Xander sneaks in a window. Because of course he does.
You know, that was pretty easy to sneak into the frat party.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good on him. And I think that he's like dressed appropriately. Like, I think that he
is he? He's wearing khakis. Oh, no,
he's wearing a polo.
And a red polo.
Okay.
He looks like he works at fucking Target.
You know what? Wait, no, there's some people wearing polos. I don't know. The mix.
I hate this outfit. He also has his hair like combed and shit. Well,
that I liked. I think that if he wore like a long sleeve shirt, then it would be better. And then there's pledges in like maid outfits coming along and passing out hors d'oeuvres and drinks.
Yeah. Buffy nearly gets like tackled by some random drunk dude. As she's like contemplating whether or not to take a sip of this drink, and Tom saves her. They have this whole like dance moment on the dance floor. They're vibing. It's like there's chemistry. And she's like, oh, I shouldn't be here. I have like responsibilities, blah, blah, blah. But Tom says, oh, you should relax. You're taking too much on. It's, you know, she takes the bait, unfortunately, for all of us. She does have some drinks.
Yeah. That is unfortunate because she was doing a really good job and it, it did not go well for her.
Yeah. She gets handed a drink by Richard and she does take it. And it's like, gosh, if the same guy has handed me a drink twice that I haven't had, it just like, it feels so sketchy to me. And I know it's different, you know, she's young and all of that, but I just want to warn people, like, be careful if you're going to a party where you don't really know anyone. And it's just like very dangerous. You have to be careful. Look out for yourself, you know?
Yeah. She does do some investigative research and finds like glass and realizes that the window above where that girl the night prior like jumped out of. So she's doing work, except then she took the drink from Richard and she got roofied. But meanwhile, Giles and Willow are researching the bracelet, and Willow realizes that like she's seen the bracelet before. It's worn by I think like private school girls, and she kind of makes the connection that the missing girl like it was her bracelet because she's from that school And the school is near the frat party, I guess, or the fraternity. So it's, they realize it's connected.
Yeah. And it turns out that she's not the only girl who's missing. You know, this has been like a pattern. And meanwhile, Xander gets like, people think he's a pledge. And so they like,
no, they don't. They know that he's crashing. So they're like, let's fuck with this guy. Because they are like,
why does he stay and do all of this? Is my question. Just leave. Okay,
because he's never been like one of the guys. And he thinks, because he's, I don't know, he's kind of a fool. He thought that like, oh, they see me. They think I'm cool because he was like talking to a girl and like they wanted him to join the fraternity. And so he fully thought that he was being included in the fun. So they,
I hated him, this so much.
They make him put on a dress. And they make him put on a wig and a bra and make him dance around. And they're like, new pledge, new pledge. And meanwhile, the one thing that Xander should be doing is watching Buffy. And Buffy is stumbling about because she got roofied.
Okay. And again, like, I'm not blaming Buffy, right? Like, she did nothing wrong. Like, don't be alone is my other suggestion. Like, if you feel like you are unwell or you're too drunk or like something like that, don't go to a room alone. You know, stay in a place where people are, because you're safer in a more public space.
I don't know, not in this house. She's not safe.
Well, no, she goes upstairs and she's all alone in a bedroom, and in comes fucking Dick. And we think like, something really bad is about to happen, and he like, it seems like there might be some sort of assault situation about to occur. Tom comes in and tells Richard to get off of her. And he says, she's not here for your fun, you pervert. She's here for the pleasure of the one we serve.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And then he says, and that goes for the other one too. And there we see Cordelia passed out on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very suspicious. The next time we see the women, they are chained up in the basement.
Not great. Meanwhile, Giles and Willow are still on the hunt for like all this information. And it turns out that like all these girls keep going missing around the same time of year every single year. And so Giles is like, this is so weird. There must be like some sort of event or something.
Yeah.
Sacrifice. And so Giles wants to get a hold of Buffy. Willow is doing like the friend thing of covering for her and like, no, like she's sick. We should call Angel in, blah, blah, blah. But like things get really bad when Willow realizes like, it was in the cemetery, and right behind the cemetery is a frat house. And like, that's the frat house where Buffy is.
Yep.
Do you think Willow should have said something sooner to Giles, or like, did she break at the right time?
I think that she shared at the right time.
I think so too. I think she's trying to do the friend thing of like, I'm covering for her. She's got things covered. I mean, not that Cordelia is the best like partner in crime, but like at least she didn't go alone, you know. Maybe she's thinking that, and she knows Xander is going to go, even though he's obviously no help. Then everyone is leaving the party. Xander's also getting kicked out.
He got kicked out. They're like, we don't want to pledge you to be a pledge. We know that you are a high school loser. Get out of here. So he gets kicked out of the party without his clothes. He's still wearing the getup. And then he starts like mumbling about like rich people, which but also you live in sunny California in a very rich area, so what,
Sunnydale?
It's not like you're living in the boondocks, sir.
So Buffy and Cordelia are tied up in the chained up in the basement with the other girl, Callie, and they're like carving stuff into Tom again. And they're like, oh, well, to make this more fun, basically it's like a survivor situation where they're going to pull rocks, and whoever pulls the wrong rock, they're going to get sacrificed first. And like poor Buffy, I was like, oh, with her super strength, can't she just break chains? But these are pretty thick chains, so I think that that's the issue. And it turns out that Tom is like the worst one of all of them, because it feels like he's like this version of the anointed one, you know, like he is like Daddy Snake's favorite.
Do you think that like Tom is actually a college student, or do you think that he's Like, okay, so
he's the leader of the college students. I think he should have graduated like 5 years ago.
Maybe. Or is it like, oh, when you become president of the fraternity, then you become like the snake master's number one?
I think that Tom worked his way up. And then instead of graduating, he's doing like a, what's that movie with Ryan Reynolds? Van Wilder. He's pulling a Van Wilder where he just goes to college for like 10 years and never ends up graduating. And he's that guy who's like too old to be hanging around the college dudes, but they all like look up to him as like a mentor. Yeah,
I think so. He's like an alumni, but he just doesn't leave. Maybe like a house dad.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just like feels like other people should also get the opportunity of the Snake Man's number one fan. Mm-hmm. You know, it just doesn't seem fair. You need to pass the torch. That's the thing, you know, like just like the presidency, two terms to be the Snake Man's number one. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it's just like not fair. You know, George Washington really did ourselves like a big W for setting those parameters.
So once they get Angel to the library, suddenly Angel's like, oh, the cemetery near the frat house. And Willow like loses it. And she's finally blurts out that Buffy is at that frat house. And I got to say, kudos to Willow for having Buffy's back. Because Angel's like instead of instead of worrying about Buffy's well-being, Angel's first question is, did she have a date? And Willow is just like, why do you think she went to that party? Because you gave her the brush off. And also, Giles, you don't let her have any fun. And she knows she's the chosen one. But you're just putting so much pressure on her. And she's 16, so she needs to have fun. And then she yells at Angel, you don't have time for a cup of coffee.
I mean, she's being a great friend. And
I love this.
I'm really grateful that she's being such a great friend because no one is advocating for Buffy except for Willow. Like, and I think that, you know, maybe Giles needed to hear it from somebody other than Buffy, you know?
I agree with that. And I agree that Angel needed to hear it from someone other than Buffy. Like, because, you know, Buffy can't exactly just say these things to Angel, but Willow can. And so I appreciate that Willow was like willing to stick up for her friend and be like, stop fucking around with Buffy, date her or don't date her, but like make a choice and stick to it because you're driving her bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. And also, I don't think Buffy's had to work this hard for a man like ever.
Ever. And she's gorgeous, Angel. Yeah,
she doesn't need to do that. She doesn't need to.
Yeah. So we're back in the basement, and Xander realizes like Cordelia's car is still there. She has a vanity plate. Queen C. We love that for her.
Yes, only the best have vanity plates.
Yes. These boys start praying to Makaita in his name. And I fucking died, Sarah. Out of this hole in the basement comes a reptilian snake man.
Yes, yes. Such good effects. Were you scared? Buffy was scared. Like, did you see her? She was terrified. Her eyes were so big. She was horrified.
Yeah.
She was not expecting this. Cordelia is being very mouthy this whole time. And I just like, I don't know, because she's like, who's going to be first? Like, what's happening? Like, why are we here? And it's like, okay, if I was trapped, I feel like Cordelia's approach is terrible because they're just going to want to shut you up. And they're not going to shut you up by, you know, letting you go. They're going to shut you up by murdering you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a great approach. I think sometimes Cordelia's mouth can be a great asset to have, and other times it's a liability.
Yeah, I just feel like she really was making herself a target. I think that if you are in a hostage situation, I think it's better to be like quiet simmering like Buffy was.
I agree. And she's like, Buffy, come on. You have to like get us out of here. Right. She's like freaking out a little bit too much because like you said, they're going to go for the mouthiest one first. And Cordelia, you're making yourself an even bigger target. But luckily that is when Angel, Willow and Giles arrive and they meet up with Xander, who's all monked out. He has his little cloak on as a little disguise.
Yeah, to get in, which is smart and not stupid.
No, it was pretty good. I just laughed because it was funny.
You're like, hey, Xander loves a costume. We're seeing a lot of costumes for Xander.
Yeah, he really does. And so, yeah, the whole reason that they're sacrificing these girls is because apparently on the 10th day of the 10th month every year, they unhunger Snake Man, Reptile Boy, as Buffy calls him. And they're also a misogynist cult because they say women can't talk to him.
It's like, oh, all right. Well, this seems like the noodle is very misogynist.
The noodle is a misogynist. Yeah. The scaly noodle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. And so they hear noise from upstairs because Xander has, like, you know, infiltrated. And they're like, okay, well, we've gotta hurry, eat them. And they start, like, holding Cordelia so that she could be eaten. Thankfully, Buffy is strong enough to finally rip the like stakes out of the ceiling, and she punches Snake Boy right in the face.
Yeah, I mean, he was a very low stakes villain, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
All of these men were, because they were very easily defeated. I think, like, ultimately what got him was a sword. She, like, stabbed him in the stomach.
I mean, to be fair, right? Like, they literally could have just run away because he's a genie. He's tied to the ground. He can't get out of there.
Is he a genie?
No, he's not a genie, but it reminded me of a genie, and that, like, yeah, you couldn't see the end of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's his tail? Do you think that he's gone for good, this reptilian man? And where did he come from? And why is he affiliated with the fraternity?
Well, one, it's Hellmouth, so that's where he came from.
Oh, sorry. Why did I even ask the question?
How dare you? I learned nothing.
I've learned nothing.
Just to listen to Giles more.
I'm such a stupid fuck.
I don't think he'll return because they literally, like, dissected him in half with the sword. So I think he's gone.
And also they were like, later on we find out that, like, all the CEOs got, like, raided by the IRS and they lost their jobs and all sort of the stock market crashed, all sorts of things. So, like, yeah, we learn that essentially this fraternity is and the snake noodle guy, genie man, bestows wealth and fortune and good prosperity to all the rich white men. So I just feel as though the lesson here to get rid of the 1% is to kill all snake mans.
Obviously. I don't think we need any more snake men. I think that makes sense to me. Yeah. And I love Cordelia yelling at Richard, "You're going to jail for 15,000 years.
I love when Cordelia was like, "I hate you people. Everything, whenever I hang out with you, everything weird happens."
Yeah, she says, "You guys, I just hate you guys."
I just hate you guys. And she thanks Angel for saving her.
Yeah.
All thanks to Angel. Angel did everything. Thank you, Angel.
And we get a very nice moment between Giles and Buffy where they both apologize to each other. He says, "I know I push you too hard because I know, like, what you're up against, and so I want you to be, like, as prepared as possible." But he says, "I'm not going to push you as hard, you know, just some light nudging is what I'll do." And she apologizes too for lying to him. Again, this is very much like a parent-child, like, sort of relationship. Like, I think this makes a lot of sense, right? This is like, replace it with Buffy snuck out from her parents' house and her dad caught her, you know, like, this is, I love this. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially given the, like, mentor-mentee relationship they have.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I think that it's very nice. It's very nice for Buffy to have, like, somebody looking out for her. I don't know. I don't know why I don't like it. Maybe because, like, I need a revamp. You know, I need to reboot my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure eventually I'll like Giles just fine.
Maybe they'll just be a moment, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? But Cordelia completely changes her mind about dating college boys. And now this guy, who I neglected to shout out last podcast when Melissa was on because it didn't, like, connect in my brain. This guy shows back up in this episode and he plays Doyle in Gilmore Girls, which you haven't seen, but for anyone out there who loves Gilmore Girls, this is Doyle, very short king.
What was he doing in the last episode?
He was the one who the princess, the mummy princess, took into the back room to try to kiss to avoid kissing Xander and killing him.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad that he made it through.
He made it through. He's serving Cordelia, and I love her. She has very high expectations.
Yes. Yeah. He forgot the frothy mouth, I think. I'm not quite sure. Extra foam. But so she says, extra foam. She is not going to date older guys. Younger guys is the way to go. And as a person that is dating a younger man, I said, yes, that is something
I'm
that
also
I with
a younger man. So look at that. Look at us.
I know. I was thinking about that.
Just bucking expectations.
We are, yes.
Bucking social norms.
Bucking social norms, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did Will turn 30 yet?
Yes. He's not that much younger than I am. He's only a year younger.
I'm just asking the questions, Jessica.
Oh, my.
I met him, when I first met you guys, he was well under 30. Well, I've known you for such a long time.
Yeah, so he loves when my birthday is in August and his is in October, and he loves that 2-month period when I'm like quote unquote 2 years older than him for 2 months, and he loves to remind me of it year because he knows it annoys me.
Yeah, yeah. You,
but you know what? Women live longer than men, generally speaking. So jokes on him.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. In comes Angel, and again, it's. Oh, okay. The one moment I will give Xander this episode. Well, he had a couple moments, but this moment actually did make me laugh. He comes in, Angel comes in and sees Buffy. And as Xander is trash talking him, right? And he goes, Buffy, and Buffy says, Angel, and Xander just says, Xander.
He's so funny. You know who would love that joke? Impata. Bata, she would love Bata that
would
joke.
Die. She would
be cackling in the corner. She'd be like, Xander, you're so funny. You're so funny.
But yeah, he says, oh, I hear this place serves coffee. And so they're like, oh, okay, well, maybe we'll have coffee sometime together. Meh.
Well, yeah, she's like, you know, you would think that she'd be like, okay, let's go over to the other table and get coffee now. And she's like, sometime we'll get coffee. Yeah, and she just walks
hard
off
to get.
Because she has to at least try to have the upper hand a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, can't be that easy. Can't be that accessible.
Exactly. So that's our episode, Reptile Boy. What did you overall, Sarah? I think it had frat stuff, so you were probably like higher on it than I would be.
Yeah, I was happy as a clam. I thought that it was good. I don't know. I just like anything that has like a fraternity secret society storyline. I mean, like, put me in front of that and I'm entertained. I would say that I'll probably get placed in the lower middle in the overall season for me.
Yeah. I mean, we're only 5 episodes in, so hard to say. Like, I think I liked this one more than I liked Inca Mummy Girl. But
what do you mean? Impata and Xander was true love.
I mean, it was silly in the ways that some of these are a little cheesy, right? These episodes are a little cheesy. But let's get into some feedback. So we did get an email from Justin about our podcast for last episode for the Inca Mummy Girl. He says, first and foremost, don't slander the Xander. Justin, calling him the Xander is not going to help your case. I'm just going to say, I get his character hasn't aged well at all, but he's not that bad as everyone is making him out to be. Also, his not being able to speak when he sees Impata walk down the stairs so Buffy has to translate for him made me laugh.
That was a funny scene. I don't remember us talking about it, but that was very funny. He was like, blah, 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 blah. She says, he says that you're pretty. Blah, 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 blah. You're welcome. That was very funny. I liked that a lot.
I couldn't help but laugh a little during your argument near the end of the episode as well, whether Impata was doing it for survival or was an outright villain. And apparently there's a Marvel reference for that. Might I introduce you to the one giant purple planet eater Galactus? See, I've seen some Marvel stuff and I don't know what that is. So apologies.
Galactus.
He's an alien who's literally cursed having to eat planets just to survive. usually has a herald to scout planets ahead for him, a la Silver Surfer. I think if it's done in order to survive, you fall into the gray area where you aren't outright evil, but it's a means to an end in a way.
Yes, yes, I agree. And Potts is just like Galactus. That's exactly right. Yeah. I would say neutral on the, what is that thing called?
You're talking about like the lawful evil, lawful yeah. good alignings yeah. chart or something?
Yes, yeah. And said, I always said I just live in the chaotic neutral land.
Yeah, that's you know? Yep.
That I yeah. live that way, and my first D&D character was there as well.
Yeah.
And yes, like maybe we're not like the best people, and maybe we're very annoying with our mischievous nature, but that's where we just live, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the Aries moon coming through. Yes. This episode also gives you some of why I dislike Buffy as well. I believe it was Jess who said how slow Buffy was in solving this. What's funny is, despite having experience, she's almost too dumb to act right. She falls into traps all the time. She's the Goku of Slayers. I don't know what that reference is either. A genius when it comes to fighting and that, but an absolute idiot about everything else. Strong words from Justin. I don't think she's an idiot. I think she's like a teenage girl and that, you know, she falls into traps for that reason. Also, he mentioned a bunch of Power Rangers stuff. He said there's no Julie in the old seasons. And sorry, Justin, we were referring to Julie, the character from Felicity, who played the pink Power Ranger. called her Julie, which is her character's name.
What's her name? Kimberly?
Kimberly, that's her. Yeah.
Wait, the character's name? The Kimberly?
Kimberly, I don't know what the actor's name is.
We are so bad. We really should know the actor's name.
Listen, we cover a lot of shows too, and I don't know. I will not apologize
because that's really bad. Amy Jo Johnson.
Amy Jo Johnson, we love you. So thank you. I love Julie. Stop it. Stop.
I love Julie.
Okay, well then we love Amy Jo Johnson because she plays Julie.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for the feedback, Justin. Didn't always understand all of it because I don't know all the Marvel references, but we still appreciate the feedback nonetheless.
I think Goku is I think that we're watching Dragon Ball Z, sir. You know?
Oh, I don't know any Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. Literally less than nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the opposite of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
We also got an email from Joy. She said, I know you didn't have high hopes for this episode based on the title, but I think it's a pretty good one. Still no Spike and Drusilla, but don't worry, they won't be gone for long. Somehow it's fitting for Buffy to have no idea how to braid Willow's hair, but Xander does. That was a funny little moment. Yeah, at the beginning of the episode. I don't know if you noticed.
Did your mom teach you how to braid hair? Because I had to teach myself how to braid.
My mom taught me how to braid, but we actually, you know what? No, she didn't. She helped me with braiding hair. I actually learned to braid when I was at my babysitter's house because we used to take embroidery thread and make friendship bracelets by braiding them. So that's where I learned to braid. Is that my
babysitter? Oh, babysitter.
Yes. Let's see. Okay, so Joy continues. Somehow it's fitting. Yeah, so the braiding. And Cordelia is unapologetically herself in this episode, snarky, gold-digging, semi-begging Buffy to go with her, but only so she can go to the frat party. And then her feelings at the end with hating the situation she ends up in whenever Buffy's involved in is hilarious. She's still Scooby adjacent, but she'll be part of the team soon enough. And Willow being upset that Buffy lied to Giles, but backing Buffy up, feeling overwhelmed by how much Giles is demanding of her and calling out Angel at the same time is peak Willow. I totally agree with that. I loved that moment for Willow.
Yeah. I like Willow a lot.
Mm-hmm. She's rising up, I think. I think she's like improved a lot recently.
She's been my favorite but she's been on the top for me. Mm-hmm. I believe in her.
Xander was his typical Xander self, but he had a nice moment of trying to help Cordelia and Buffy, even if his motives had ulterior motives at first. I don't know. There's not much to say about this episode, and I love this show so much that sometimes I forget to watch it with more of a critical eye, and I get just lost in my enjoyment. If I could sum up the episode in one sentence, it's Buffy's take down the demon snake patriarchy.
Yes.
Oh, that's really funny.
That's the unedited version of Taylor Swift's All Too Well at the 10-minute version. Fuck the demon snake patriarchy.
Yeah, fuck that demon snake patriarchy.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for your feedback. Again, we love getting feedback. shit90spod@gmail.com if you want to email us. shit90spod.com if you want to leave us a voicemail. We love hearing from everyone. Sarah, do you want to know what next week's episode is titled?
Yes.
Halloween.
Halloween.
A spooky episode.
Yes. I believe that people go bananas over this episode.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's a really good one. We do have a special guest. What?
What's up with the delay?
Oh, I don't know. You skipped out on me for a second.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know what's going on. It could be lag. Okay. I've heard good things about this one in terms of, like, we have a guest for it. I assume it's a really great episode.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I've just heard, like, the people on the streets, oh, like, the next one's so good, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, plus
so
it's a Halloween episode in a world with vampires. Like, it feels like it should be a good episode. Like, they should be able to nail a Halloween episode.
Yeah, do you want to wear Halloween costumes next week?
No.
Okay. All right, so you can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Sarah Ferguson and Whirlwind Pods, Jessica at the Jess Sterling, and 12.
That's my email address. Well, that's not my email address, okay. but it's close enough.
Don't email Jessica.
No.
Talking shit.
Yeah, and I'm on Talking Shit. And then this week also, coming up, we're going to be coming back together over on Whirlwind Podcasts to talk about Pretty Little Liars Original Sin Summer School.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Really, I started rewatching the first season.
How's that going?
Well, I finished one episode, so it's going good.
Going great.
It's going good. I forgot a lot of this stuff, so, you know, I didn't realize that it was, like, 2 years ago. I thought that was, like, oh, it was just last year.
It felt like it was not that long ago, but, I mean, the strike did delay things, and I think that's – because originally I think it was supposed to be out a lot earlier, and then the strike definitely delayed it. But it makes sense now because it's a summer school theme for it to be released in the summer. Yes. So I'm really excited. It's going to be a ton of fun, so definitely check that out. And we have all of our backlog in the Whirlwind podcast feed from when we originally covered season one over on Pusher Recaps. So make sure you listen to those if you want to get caught up before the new season premieres. It comes out actually to the day this podcast drops. It's out, the show comes out on Thursday the 9th.
On Max.
And we'll be covering it on Max. Yes. And we'll be covering it like the day after. So
yeah. And if you're not aware, like, Pretty Little Liars is, like, literally my favorite book series that I've ever read. Jessica's read it as well. And like,
not all of them as much as you have, but
I've read like all like 25-30 books, but and then I have a passion for the show, but I was also, remember when I said that I was like held hostage in Buffy? I was held hostage in Rosewood. They took me and I could not escape. but Pretty Little Liars is great, and it's a lot of fun to talk about, but check us out there and Talking Shit, all the good stuff, all this. We're covering American Pie. Love that.
I can't wait. And honestly, there are so many times where Willow gives me vibes of her character from American Pie, minus the fact that she's a total sex freak.
Yeah. Is it just Allison Hannigan, though?
Could be. I mean, it could be like, and that's what inspired them to have that character for American Pie, you know, because this came out first. So
But I hear too. There's definitely line delivery where I'm like, oh yes, that is whatever her name is in American Pie.
All I'm waiting for is for her to say this one time at band camp. Like, this is all I'm waiting for Willow to say all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, check that out. It's going to be a ton of fun. And we'll be back next week with Halloween. So until then, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.